The first drink of the day! The first drink of the day! The first drink of the day! The first drink of the day!
Welcome to the Football Podcast. This is show number 22, second one of 2011.
It's getting there. It's getting up there, isn't it?
Almost a full house. No Ferdinand today. Mike Coxon's here with a very sharp-looking haircut.
Right, yeah. First one in 5 minutes.
And James Staples Esquire is here.
I am indeed.
Stuart Hoare is here.
Afternoon.
And I'm Simon Head. I'm here as well, obviously. We had a listener question this week, lads. Andrew Gibney, who does another very good podcast, actually, the Gib Football Show, he asked us if we knew of any players under the radar who we might see move into the Premier League during a transfer window. Now, I don't know, some of these players may already have moved by the time we answered this, because it was asked sort of middle of last week. Who have you got, Stu?
Well, I've gone for Mamadou Sakho. He's currently at PSG. He's played at every level from under-16s for France right up until now. He's earned his first cap in the national team under Laurent Blanc. He was first spotted on the Sky Sports Scout in 2008, and since then I think he's done quite well.
What's a Sky Sports Scout?
They do a feature.
Someone just sits home and watches TV.
Potentially, they do a feature every week
on
sort of players to look out for. And he's finally come onto the radar. He's made 80 appearances.
I don't think you can say he was first spotted on Sky Sports Scout.
Well,
I'm sure people had seen him before that.
They spotted him in the streets of Paris, kicking a ball around.
That's when he was first
on. So where's he going then, Steve?
Arsenal have been linked with him a few times over the past couple of years.
How old is he today?
20.
Okay. We've been linked with him before, I think. So he's meant to be decent player. Liverpool as well.
Okay, cool. Jim, got any?
Yeah, I've got a few, actually.
Okay.
Pagwai Luyendula. He's 31. He's a PSG striker, and apparently West Ham are after him, even though he scored no goals in 17 games this season.
He'll fit in.
Right there alongside.
Can't be worse than Mido. We'll put him up front. We'll put him up front.
Super-sized Mido.
But apparently he's got a lot of creativity. But I don't know what sort of feeling they're
going to ask. Well, just like art.
31, yeah. Yeah, he's really good. Tony Hart loved him. Also, Ashley Williams, Swansea and Wales captain.
Yeah.
A few teams after him, apparently. Fulham, West Ham and Newcastle are the ones that I've seen. He will be a great sign in the Premiership. But, I mean, I want him to go to a club in the Premiership that he'll actually play at. Because he's one of the standout performers in the Championship. He's brilliant at Swansea's defence. Obviously, Wales captain now as well. I'd hate for him to go to a bigger club and not get a look in, because it happens so often. So hopefully he will. Yeah, hopefully he will go. I'd prefer to go to Fulham or Newcastle, because West Brom will probably be going back down. Well, I don't know, they're doing all right, I suppose.
Nah, their form's dropped off.
Yeah. Also, apparently Southampton are about to bid £2 million for Howard Webb to get him in ahead of the FA Cup fourth round game versus Man United. Apparently.
Oh, excuse me, my side is splitting.
Controversial.
The only other one to note, Beckham to Spurs and Henry's back training with Arsenal. Doesn't look like either of them are actually going
to
sign.
He's not allowed to physically play for them.
Yeah, exactly.
They've had to do some contract.
It's about Beckham.
No, Henry.
Well, he's coaching the strikers.
Is he really?
Yeah, that's what.
Teach Nick says bent at what a goal looks like.
Indeed. But it's an interesting one. And Beckham, yeah. The Spurs loan deal, still not dead by the sounds of it.
It's insurance, morning. Isn't it?
Yeah, basically.
Something will happen there.
I think it's partly because Beckham wears Adidas, Tottenham wear Puma. There could be an issue there as well. Wearing a Puma kit.
Harry Redknapp did one of these wheeler dealer moves and.
He's not a wheeler dealer.
He's not. Sorry, I forgot. He's a modern football coach.
Who's on your radar, Si?
Right, okay.
Who's underneath your radar? Even better.
Ricky van Wolfswinkel.
That's a great name.
One of the greatest names in world.
Great name.
He's Dutch. He knows where the net is. He plays for FC Utrecht in the Dutch league.
Say his name again.
Ricky van Wolfswinkel.
Right. I want to chant for him.
I was like,
do do do, Ricky van Wolfswinkel. Do do do.
You've let yourself down.
Yeah. That wasn't bad.
I was like, FC Utrecht. It sounds like some sort of urinary tract disease.
It does. But he's interested in a few clubs. As is a lad who we know from the World Cup, Luis Suarez.
Good goalkeeper.
Very good. Good sub goal.
Good with his hands.
Yeah.
Spurs interested in
knows really Spurs and Arsenal, apparently.
Yeah. We've been linked with him a lot in the past.
I can see
we've been linked with him.
Yeah, but you know, no one cares.
Oh, sorry. I think he was linked with the Gills as well.
No, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
Lies.
And for someone who properly is under the radar, because Ricky Van Wolfswinkel is quite well known, Luis Suarez is quite well known, Alex Smithies is less well known. He's the goalkeeper for Huddersfield Town. He's a very good goalkeeper. He's only young, I think he's about 20, 21. Villa are believed to be preparing a £1.5 million bid for him. They haven't really got a decent backup. They've got Brad Guzan, American, who's a backup to Brad Friedel. Guzan's gone out on loan to Hull, hasn't he? So they need a backup there.
They've got Andy Marshall.
Good. They need a backup goalie.
He was great in Norwich's team in 95.
He was.
When they got relegated. Yeah, so
Alex Smithies is one that I can see making the step up.
Do we honestly think any of those so far are going to go to a Premiership team?
In January.
In January, Kyle Ward.
Not many people do.
Who have you gone for?
I've gone for two that already have gone to Premiership teams, so I'm going to win.
Cheating. Well, it's not underneath the radar.
But they are. They're low-key signings.
It's not what he asked for. He wanted to know who could.
But I'm sorry, I can't read.
Let's move on. What's next?
Anders Lindegaard.
I thought you were going to say Limbaugh.
Signed for United.
No, that would be under the radar.
Big goalkeeper, good distribution. Won goalkeeper of the year in both Denmark and Norway last year.
Right.
He's from Denmark. He played in Norway. Pete Schmeichel doesn't rate him. Says he's not good enough to play for United, but he's very highly rated. Arsenal after him.
So are you still talking about players that have already been transferred?
Yes. And the second one is the fantastically named Bongani Kumalo, South African international, signed for Spurs from SuperSport United for $1.5 million. Scored at the World Cup. Scored at the World Cup versus France. Centre half. Spurs need a centre half. So he's got every chance to shine.
Cool. Spurs need a centre half.
They do. They've got
Johnny Woodgate's back now.
He's going on loan though.
Galas
is injury prone.
Problems are off.
Ledley King.
Woodgate's back.
Good fitness, but just can't quite cut it.
No knees.
Yeah.
Right. No knees.
Well, there's a few names there. I don't know how many of them are actually off the radar, but there's some names there. Anyway,
be very interesting to see.
Thank you for the question, Andrew.
I think some people might have made up some of those names.
Stuart. Anybody wants to send any questions for us to answer at the start of the podcast, banter@footballpodcast.co.uk is the address to send them to. Yeah. Right, we'll take a look back at the weekend. It was FA Cup third round weekend.
It was, but I've got an issue with this. Dalglish was the top story on a Saturday. It's FA Cup third round weekend. Five Live, Talk Sport. Didn't watch Sky Sports News, but I'm sure it was the top story and everything. Yeah. Obviously I'm interested in it. They're one of the biggest clubs in the country, but it's FA Cup third round weekend. That's bigger than Liverpool changing their manager.
Yeah. Stevenage Borough beating Newcastle. Not just beating them, beating them handily as well. They played really well in that game.
They did.
And they were absolutely superb. Michael Boswick, absolute cracker of a goal.
Is he the one who got knocked out at the end or not?
Yeah, I wouldn't mess with that.
That was Led.
Then he got banged
out. Do you know
at
why
the
he
end
got
of
knocked
the
out?
Game.
Apparently the guy
didn't give him his shirt or something.
Yeah, Stevenage fan. Apparently his dad has had a word with him and he's turning himself in today. That's what I heard on the news this morning. So
he's got a future career as a boxer, maybe, as well, though.
Yeah, he's absolutely floored him, hasn't he?
But to be fair, he was hardly bracing himself.
It's weird, though. If you've seen the footage, it's bizarre watching. It's not nice viewing at all, is it? It's just like that.
My first thought was it was a Newcastle fan that had come snuck into the away into the home.
Do you know what my first initial thought was? It was messing around. It was like his mate had come on and they're pretending to do it to see how much media exposure they got. It's very strange and bad news.
And the best thing about it, Mike Ashley gets rid of Chris Hughton, who's doing a decent job there. Pardew takes over, wins a couple of games. FA Cup gets done by Stevenage Borough.
No, there's previous there as League well with Stevenage.
There was a replay at St James's where Shearer had a goal that was never in.
Yeah,
was given. And
Giuliano Grazioli scoring in the first.
He was looking very well actually. Grazioli's always been a good looking fella, but I still would. Also, the best thing about that game and the ESPN coverage, you know, when especially the low league grounds, they sort of focus in and you can hear a chant. And sometimes the commentators allude to it, sometimes they don't. Did you hear it? Barton, you're a C. Barton, you're a C. And it was clear as day.
It happened at the Arsenal Leeds game. It was live on ITV. All the Leeds fans singing ITV. Fucking shit.
Yeah.
ITV. And it was like 10,000 Leeds fans. They couldn't blank it out. You can't just turn off the effects.
I like it when the commentators don't say anything about it. They know what's going on. Yeah. It was just complete silence. At least try and say something.
Adam
over
Parry's going to be quite good. He says something like, oh, they're not happy with him.
Yeah. The fans there letting Joe Barton know what they think of him. Something like that. But no, just leave it. But if you leave it and you're not talking, you can hear it even
more. Maybe he wanted everyone to hear it.
Yeah.
Worst thing about that Stevenage Newcastle game, Craig Burley.
It's killing us.
When the sending off tackle, The guy launched himself and Burley just went off on one. Oh, a terrible decision. I don't think there was another person, there was one other person watching the game, so I had a bit of a back and forth on Twitter with him, trying to explain why it was a sending off.
Yeah,
but Burley just went mad for about he wouldn't let it go for about 10 minutes.
Talking about challenges, Theo Walcott, did you see, came out after the game, after the Arsenal game, and admitted to diving for the first one, which wasn't given.
Fair play to him, because on Saturday night I was saying, oh well, fair play for him coming out, but diving, it's not good. And then the next afternoon, there were no dives at all at Old Trafford, and we won a fair game.
What Walcott said was interesting. Basically, he said that he went down to try and win the penalty. It was a spur of the moment thing. He didn't think about it, because you get something into your head that you say, okay, Walcott's a diver. Actually, Young's a diver. Some players will do that and will go and achieve it. Basically, what he said was at that time he thought, if I do this, I might win a penalty. But it was a split second decision. Yeah. He also said that he spoke to one of the league's players and said, would you have done the same?
And he turned around and said, with the ref, he said, that was my first ever dive. Did you notice? He was like, yeah, it wasn't very good, was it?
But I mean, the one that they gave a penalty for wasn't much in that at all.
There was a tug there, but he went down very easily. Not as easily as
Berbatov. I was disappointed, because Berbatov, fair play to him, I know a lot of people say he's not that sort of player.
Well, he is, because he did.
But, exactly, yeah. Because in the past he never has. He's always stuck, because he's very good on the ball.
Yeah. And he had nowhere to go. He hit the byline.
It was stupid of Agger to put his foot out.
Stupidity from Agger.
He made it.
The referee was 25 yards away.
It's
and there was a linesman with a clear view of it, like 10 yards away.
It's disappointing. But one thing I do like, I've realised, because Pepe Reina is very good at saving penalties. I think the reason is...
It's gone the right way, isn't it?
The reason is... He ends
sure
is
alive.
Sure
is alive.
Hello.
He's gone the right way.
The reason Pepe Reina nearly saved penalties is because he ends up on the edge of the 6-yard box when he dies.
Oh, shut up, man.
It's ridiculous.
You've noticed that.
I mean, like, it wasn't a penalty, it was a sending off.
Oh, it was a sending off, yeah.
2 foot off the ground.
It was a sending off.
And people are saying Rafael...
2 foot off the ground? He had a jump on him, didn't he?
Yeah. people are saying that potentially Rafael's was poor. That was just a solid tackle.
He did jump in 2 feet, but at least it was just
Studs
a block
were
tackle.
Down.
It was a block tackle.
I'd like Rafael, if he ever scored, to do the turtle celebration just near the corner flag.
That'd be fantastic, wouldn't it?
Rafael, what position does he play?
I believe he's the one that has a nunchucks.
No,
oh, he's football.
Right back, right back. Which puts us on to Pubcast 11.
It does.
First of all, what was the results?
That was seamless.
Absolutely seamless.
Right, the goalkeeper results.
Come on then.
Fourth place. Neville Southall.
How is he fourth? He's a fucking legend.
I remember why he was fourth.
Yes.
Because he got 9.62%.
Well, obviously, I know.
I remember him appearing on Sky One's Dream Team and he couldn't act, so I think he deserves it.
In third place.
I don't care if he can act. That is an absolute bloody disgrace.
Everton,
and I'm not happy.
Let you down there,
everyone's let me down.
Bloody toughies.
In third place, with 15.38% of the vote, Jose Luis Chilavert. Now, I'm happy with that, because I think Chilavert was last up until about 3 days ago. In second place, with 34.62% of the vote, is Peter Schmeichel.
Yes! Bloody K. Murray.
Yes!
And with no help at all from a blonde Real Madrid reporter who tweeted it to all and sundry, in first place with 40.38% of the vote,
he's absolutely smashed it, hasn't he?
Is a man nominated by Mr. Hall himself. Would you like to say his name, Stu?
Go on, Stu.
Casillas.
That'll do.
Known as Iker Casillas to his friends. Iker Casillas, 40.3%. So the first man in our Pubcast 11 has been picked. Iker Casillas, goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Well done, Stuart. Stuart leads. Right, so we'll move on to the right back now.
Stuart can go first, as he's
Stuart
just won.
As the, yeah.
Come on, read us something from Wikipedia.
Here we go.
Having won 2 league titles, a European Championship and a World Cup, all by the age of 24, I'm going to go for Real Madrid's Sergio Ramos.
Gone for K. Murray's back in again.
This is easy.
If you're listening to this, can you,
please don't tweet it.
There's more,
reasons for it.
He can play comfortably across the back four. At 20, he's already played 178 games for Real Madrid and scored 23 goals. That's 1 in 7. Not many strikers.
It's better than Heskey, isn't it?
It's better than some of the strikers we had last season.
Does he predominantly play right back four?
Yeah, he does, yeah.
I'll let him off.
Thank you very much.
He's a very good one. He is a very
and obviously
right
at 24,
back.
He's only played 70. He's already played 72 times for Spain. So
the only played. He's turning a positive into a negative. He's only played 72 times.
Well,
at
he's
going to
be around
16.
For a long time, isn't he? At 24,
he's one of the best.
There you go. So in 5 years' time, he might make it into the Pubcast 11. There's no reason why he shouldn't.
Already,
if he
two
can get out of just
a European Championship and a World Cup.
What for the future?
he's won all of that already.
Now he's a good nomination.
A dead cert for a sending off though, that could be his only problem. He loses it a couple of times a season.
Yeah. Okay.
But Sergio Ramos.
All right. Go on, Mike.
I think
Gary Neville.
I think there's only one person I could go for. I do have to give an honorary mention to Carlos Alberto, the Brazil 1970 right back.
But
of course, I've gone for G Neville himself, Gary Neville. Every fan would love a player like Gary Neville at their club. He is Mr. Manchester United. He is committed. He is consistent.
You want to see the look on Jim's face while you're saying this? Go on, sorry.
If he was a Gillingham fan, you would love him. He is the most capped.
Never get him past Barry Fuller.
He's the most capped right back in England's history. He's played over 600 times for Manchester United, won the European Cup, with numerous league titles.
To be fair, he deserves to be, because he's crap and he's done all
he
that.
He is a brilliant defender, despite what people say.
Did you watch the West Brom game?
I'm not talking about this season. He has got old. Were it not for injuries, he would have played for us more times than Ryan.
He has got old. It's not a shock, is it? He's not Peter Pan.
What's more, he has the comedy value. He's got his attempts of a beard. He's got his Teletubby house.
You're pinning it on a Teletubby house.
But no, in all seriousness, anyone that can hold down the first choice right back place for England for 12 years with no challenge has got to be a decent defender.
Hang on a minute, with no challenge means that he's a lucky bugger, that there's never been another.
No, I don't mean that there's been no good right. I mean nobody's come close to him. You look at anyone that's come through, nobody's come close.
The only good thing he's done for me was crossing the ball for Euro 96 for Shearer's
over. Well, base it on that then, and base your votes on that.
I'm not going to vote.
As I said, he is an excellent cross for the ball. Gary Neville.
At this rate, I'm definitely getting Sergio Ramos in.
Right, okay. One good nomination, one slightly blinkered one from my northern
correspondent
here. I'm going to go for a
well
guy
said.
Who is very, very hard to argue against this guy's credentials. Il Capitano himself, Javier Zanetti. Now, this guy.
What nationality is he?
He's Argentinian.
Exactly. That's the answer. It's very easy to argue against his credentials.
Sergio Ramos.
He's great going forward. He's superb defensively. He's a leader. He's a legend at Inter Milan, which is the Italian side that I sort of very occasionally follow. He played in two World Cups. He should have played in four World Cups, but due to Argentina having two completely nutcase managers in the last two World Cups, he wasn't picked for either. Jose Peckerman left him out in 2006, and Maradona left him out controversially.
So you'd like
in
us to vote for a right back who couldn't make it into his national team's World Cup squad?
Even Gary Neville went for 2006.
Yes, I do.
He never played a right back though, did he?
No, he didn't bother. I think he played Angel Di Maria.
Why are you helping his case?
He played Angel Di Maria.
Maradona's a nutty, isn't he?
But he's got 100, despite missing two World Cups, 138 international caps. Second on the Inter Milan all-time appearances list. The only man ahead of him is another right back, actually, Italian, called Giuseppe Bergami.
He's a hard bastard.
Who was hard as nails.
I have a fantastic eyebrow.
The only reason that he isn't being nominated is probably because we're all a little bit young to remember him. He was getting old. Just
even you,
even me.
I saw Giuseppe Bergami play at Old Trafford in '97.
He was about 40.
Kicked the shit out of Michael Clegg.
There you go,
Michael Clegg. He scored that.
If you're looking at longevity of a career and being at the top level for that length. Time. He, for me, has been the best right back in the world for the last 15 years, consistently. So he's my nomination. Javier Zanetti, Il Capitano, legend. Jim, who's yours?
I'm going to keep it short and sweet, as the man himself was, Marcos Evangelista de Marais, aka Cafu.
I'll go shout, yeah.
Cafu, yeah, I can see your faces. You're shooting them, really.
He's a winger.
Born Sao Paulo, 1970, so he's 40 years old now. 5'9", but an absolute giant in my heart. An absolute giant, I tell you. Okay, obviously, what I know for his overlapping runs down the right-hand side, he could defend as well. I spoke to someone this weekend, I said, I'm going to nominate Cafu, I can't defend. No, he can. Glenn Johnson can't defend, Cafu could. He was brilliant.
So you're basing him on the fact that he's better than Glenn Johnson, then I should be at night about
Glenn Johnson's better than Gary Neville. He's better than Glenn Johnson.
Ridiculous.
Can I just...
I'll base on a bit more than that.
As much as I don't want Gary Neville to win, he is better than Glenn Johnson.
This is Cafu's time, all right, yeah?
Oh, sorry, because you're also quiet for my time.
Shush. Played 448 games for Sao Paulo, Juventus, Zaragoza, Palmeiras, Roma and Milan, and 140 times for Brazil. Most capped player in Brazil's history. That should get him in the team straight away on his own. Retired in 2006. I said I was going to keep it short. I am going to keep it short, but I am just going to list what he's won. Okay? And I've had to cut some of this down. This is not even everything that he's won. I'm going to go through UEFA Super Cup. FIFA World Cup Cup, UEFA Cup Winners' Cup, Serie A title, Supercoppa Italiana, Intercontinental Cup, UEFA Champions League, FIFA Confederations Cup, two Copa Americas and two World Cups. Gary Neville.
Gary Neville.
Mate, Gary Neville.
You've had your time.
UEFA Super Cup, FIFA World Club Cup, eight Premier League titles.
You've had your time.
Two European
Cups. You've had your chance. You should have listed them. You should have listed them. Two World Cups, and he was an absolute brilliant player to watch as well. And on a serious note, he would be my right back, just because when he was at Roma, and I was sort of 15, 16, watching him at Roma, and France 98 as well, I remember him quite well for playing with them. He was outstanding, absolutely outstanding. Part of a brilliant Brazilian team as well.
And he was captain of World Cup winning side in 2002.
When Cleberson played.
Yeah, Cleberson won the World Cup with Cleberson. But he got in by default because Emerson, midfielder, had done himself in training and playing in goal.
That was it, yeah.
Cafu stepped up, led them through. So that is, I think we've, in all seriousness, we've got four worthy, three and a half worthy.
Oh, Bob, you cannot deny Gary Neville has been a great right.
All I'm going to say is you need to get on some Man United forums if he's.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
Any Manchester United supporters out there, get voting.
If any fans of football are listening,
Cafu. Evangelista. He's got Evangelista in his name.
That's good.
Oh, sorry, yeah, let's vote for the model, Linda Evangelista, then.
Yeah.
Fabian Bartos' ex-back.
We'll see. Also, he speaks the same language as Cassez.
Right, okay, moving on after that one raucous section, it's time for Mr. James Staples to take the chair.
Yep. It's my who are you of the week. I had a couple of people that requested a couple of players, which I will do. But bumping in front of them, well, no, I'm not.
Not today.
Bumping in front of them because of Saturday morning's events. Kenneth Matheson Dalglish, MBE. Kenny Dalglish.
How they doing?
We've all heard of him, but some of our young listeners might not necessarily know
King Kenny.
Why he's called King
Played
Kenny.
Played one, lost one.
That's true. That's true. Born 4th of March, 1951. So he's the grand old age of 59.
Yeah.
Born in Glasgow, Scotland. Stood at 5'8". So 1 inch shorter than Cafu, who's going to be the pubcast.
And 1 inch taller than me.
There you go. Brilliant. Played as a striker. Started playing for Celtic in 1969. The most amusing thing I could find out of it, because he's not the most amusing character, believe it or not. When he signed at Celtic, he got a provisional contract in 1967, so like youth team contract or whatever. Jock Steen, the Celtic manager, sent his assistant round to his house. As he knocked on the door, Dalglish raced up to his bedroom to take all the Rangers posters down that he had on his wall, because he was scared that if the bloke saw him, he wouldn't get a contract. So he's a Rangers fan as a kid. When he started his career at Celtic. When he eventually moved to Liverpool, he actually replaced Kevin Keegan, which is no mean feat. Yeah,
Keegan was a legend at Anfield.
He was King Keegan. He replaced King Keegan. Yeah, didn't he, really.
They thought, original, aren't they?
They didn't think that they could replace Keegan with someone of the same quality, and they got this guy in from Celtic, and he turned out to be.
But I mean, they weren't happy, but they didn't think that he would be able to step into the shoes.
To be fair, he's now replaced Kevin Keegan as a headstrong appointment based simply on the past.
It's true. But they've not got as much stick as it. Okay, so he moved to Liverpool in 1977 to take over the shoes of Keegan, or the boots of Keegan. Bit of scepticism as to whether he can do it. In his first season, he played 60 times and scored 31 goals, including the winning goal in the 78 European Cup final, which was played at Wembley against Bruges. So he went on to become probably the most influential player in that Liverpool team, which went on to dominate English and European football, really, for a period through the 80s. Also, when I spoke to this about my dad as well, he remembers Dalglish because he was manager of Liverpool during the Hillsborough disaster.
Yeah.
And he remembered that he dealt with it very well, went to a lot of the funerals.
He went to all of them.
Yeah, from a PR point of view, he got a lot of admirers, even from your side, Man United fans and that.
Can't argue with it.
Yeah, exactly. So, difficult time, obviously, to be a manager. And his autobiography came out quite recently, which the Mirror actually serialised as well, didn't they? And reading that was quite interesting as well. How he dealt with the Hillsborough stuff like that, must have taken it out. So anyway, retired for health reasons from the club in 1991
after an unbelievable football match, 4-4 draw with Everton.
That was it, yeah, in the FA Cup. Absolutely.
Tony Cotty scored two late goals.
Was that what caused the health
issues? Yeah, he was just like, I can't bother.
Come back from 4-0 down or something.
I'll find a YouTube clip and put it on the site. It's one of the most remarkable cup matches of all time. It was an amazing game.
But yeah, so that's his background at Liverpool. After that, he went on to go to Blackburn, manager 1991 to 95, where of course he won the title.
Broke my heart as a 10-year-old.
Absolutely.
8-year-old. I was 8, in fact.
I always remember.
I was 7.
See, when I think of Dal Glish, I don't think of him as the player. I think of him as the manager in the dugout at Anfield when Liverpool just scored the free kick. Yeah, and then the news comes through and he's just sort of looking around, and then obviously it comes
through. It's funny how he doesn't get on with Alex Ferguson, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I wonder why. Then he went on to manage Newcastle between 97 and 98, didn't do very well. And then last of all, Celtic was manager there until 2000. So just the 11-year gap, which might explain why he didn't know the back pass role when he turned up. Someone had to explain it to him. Since when have keepers not been able to pick it up from the back pass? But yeah, so it's going to be very interesting this season as well. But that is this week's UI.
Yeah, nice one.
I had a run-in with Kenny Dalglish's daughter. She did her work experience at our place of work, obviously.
I sat next to her.
And
when you say running, what did you do?
On my birthday, she came out for a drink. And
do we need to stop here?
No. We were having a joke about her famous father. I was talking about how he was the second best Scottish striker ever after Dennis Law. And then we had a joke, and I was like, oh, I don't mind Liverpool. I've got lots of mates with Liverpool fans.
Yeah.
And she said, well, I hate Manx. So,
interestingly as well, she was working there at the time when all the speculation the first time around went before Hodgson got the job, so she was getting a load of stick and stuff like that as well.
Alright, this is part two of this week's Football Podcast. You might notice a slight change in background noise. This is because we've moved pubs since the last one.
It's because you didn't turn up till 1:30 when we were supposed to start at 1:00, Simon. That's the real truth.
And then he got into a fight with the barman and got us kicked out.
So we've had to come to another pub at the end of work. This is eating into our personal time.
You should have known that Henry Addington...
Oh, you'd appreciate this.
Not good enough.
You should have known Henry Addington's don't do strawberry daiquiris, Simon.
I'm feeling very picked on.
Right, it's Stu. Up next.
Right, Stu, this is
manager.
Oh, hello, look, the lights come on and everything.
Oh. I bet you can appreciate that on this podcast, can't you?
Right, okay, yeah. The lighting.
It's a good start.
Right, okay, Stu, this is your new section. Come on, Stu, manager.
It's been an interesting start, to be honest.
We'll be the judge of that.
I thought, obviously taking over Port Vale at the beginning of the season, I might have a bit of transfer money to play with. I was given some fuck all by the board. And if I could have...
I'd like if it said that. You're hoping you use your Football Manager. Transfer budget this season is fuck all.
But obviously, at the beginning of the game, you can choose whether you're going to win the league. Or
yeah, so did they give you like money for wages? Or
they gave me a couple of grand for wages. So everything I've had to do, sort of loan players and a couple of free signings.
That's all right. Keep it real.
A total of 10 players brought in.
10?
It's a lot to bring in, I understand. But the squad was very, very minimal. There was only sort of 20 people to pick from, so I've now got a decent sized squad
of 30 people.
Yeah, I've got cover for all positions.
Yeah.
And the original team aren't very good. So yeah, 3 free transfers and 7 brought in on loans, obviously youngsters from Liverpool.
Season longs or 3 months?
No, a couple of 3 months and 4 season longs.
Oh, right, okay.
Best win in pre-season was a 3-0 against League One side Oldham, which was always good.
Okay.
3 new signings: Sean Rigg, Chris James and Josh Parker scored. So reap the rewards straight away. And the worst loss during pre-season, unfortunately, was Premier League Wolves beat us 3-0.
That's not too bad.
Not a problem.
That's alright.
So pre-season record: played 8, won 3, drew 2, lost 3, and 4-9 and against 8. So it's not bad.
That's pretty even, really.
It's not a bad start.
Have you played any league games?
Yes.
Right.
What were the expectations going into the league season?
They were expecting sort of a playoff push, I think, which isn't bad. Well, it is bad because there's going to be no money. But formation I've gone for is 4-5-1, 4 defenders at the back, 3 central midfielders with 2 wingers and then 1 up top.
Okay.
First game of the season.
I'd say.
First game of the season. Unfortunately, we went down in the 18th minute to a Gareth Ainsworth penalty.
So you're playing Wickham, yeah?
Yeah, Wickham away. So conceded 18th minute penalty. Gareth Ainsworth converted that. Louis Dodds equalised in the 40th minute, and with a tap in from 12 yards. No defenders around him, which was pretty simple. And then 70th minute, Mark Richards was found in the box. A new signing, Chris Martin, stepped up and made it 2-1 from the box. Yep.
He's not yellow anymore.
He's not.
It's a very good signing, that is. I'm impressed with that.
Very much. So, yeah, 2-1 first league game, come back from 1-0 down.
Good work.
Yeah, so it's not bad. Obviously, and next week I'll update you with Cardiff. We've got them in the Carling Cup away.
Ooh, that's going to be our game.
Big game. Exactly. Big game.
I'm going to try and get 2 next week, so I'm going to do Cardiff away and Northampton at home.
Is that a league game, Northampton?
Yeah, Northampton at home in the league.
I'd be disappointed if you don't win those both.
Yeah? Thank you very much.
There you go. Expectations are high.
I shall update you next week.
It's a good start, though, mate.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
All right, so we'll move on to some real life teams now. Might as well stick with you, Stu, because yours is going to be quite quick again. Have the Grafschap played yet?
It's an interesting one this week. They haven't got a game until the 22nd of January, their next game, mate.
Okay.
Is that just a winter break?
Yeah, I'm guessing so. And at the moment, they're pissing around in Turkey on a training camp.
Okay.
There's a few pictures up on their website. They look like they're having fun. The conversion, the Google Translator isn't very good.
Okay.
And it just read 90 minutes on a pitch, I think is what they've done today. So that's all I've got.
Sorry, it's not 90 minutes on the piss.
No pitch, I think.
I've got Leicester City in my mind.
Sorry.
But yeah, no, 22nd of Jan, and it's okay. Final.
Cool. All right, Mike?
Vicks haven't played much over the last month or so, but they did have a game at the weekend against top of the league Halifax, who beat us 3-0 at home.
Ooh.
A bit disappointing. Drop down to
FC Halifax.
FC Halifax Town. But yeah, after drawing with Nantwich last week in the derby, bit disappointing. Drop down to 8th, but the difference in the amount of games everyone's played is ridiculous. Like Halifax played 21, I think Marine have played 24, some teams played 15, we played 19. So
the games in hand to play.
Games in hand, it's okay. All to play for, yeah.
Cool. All right, Jim.
Hastings United, obviously loads of changes I told you about last week.
Of course.
In detail, basically, the reason the manager got the sack, they lost 3-2 at home in a cup to a team two leagues below them. Then they lost 3-2 at home again to Horsham. Horsham finished the game with 8 men.
And they lost how many?
They lost 3-2 to a team who finished the game with 8 men.
Have you ever been to Horsham?
No.
There's a pub there that has a little dog that lives around it. It's great.
I bet that dog's dead now. When did
it's
you last go back?
May. The last season.
He may still be alive. Anyway, those results cost Tony Dolby his job. They brought in a new guy, Jason Hopkinson, coming from Lewes. Highly respected coach at their academy setup. So first chance to sort of prove himself as a manager. He's already got a couple of signings in. He signed a couple on from Lewes with their dual registration. Got a striker in as well before the weekend's game. Also, I mentioned that they've lost a few players. Among the players they lost, basically the drop in attendances that they've had, where they haven't been getting the gates that they need to. They can't supplement the wages, so they've had to get rid of some of their top earners. So they have lost Jamie Cade and John Bills.
Oh, not John Bills.
John Bills is gone. John Bills. Ian was not happy about it, but John's going to be looking for a club somewhere else. They were two of the top earners, but my guy down there, Sean, said that they weren't really setting the league alight anyway.
At least they've still got the other number, boys. That's all.
You say that, Simon.
Oh, no.
I'm going to quote Sean. We then had a real shock when Adi Alarunda decided to quit the club and rejoin Tunbridge just before Christmas.
No.
It felt like a real kick in the teeth as we continued to pay his wages throughout his injured time during the season.
Merry bloody Christmas.
So it's like we were saying earlier, Jesus. We did a feature on the fact... Well, don't say that. Because he teaches at his kids' school. So we don't want to...
Gavin Thomas.
Yeah. So basically, they paid his wages while he was injured, and obviously we featured on him, and we know how good a player he was, and he's left them. So
thanks to go to Tunbridge as well.
They've still got his brother there. He's still there.
Tim, he's still going.
Yeah,
isn't
he's still there.
Tim,
and as I say, Michael Phillips left as well. We like Michael Phillips because we knew his name and he scored a couple of goals.
Yeah,
I don't know if
he
wasn't playing as well as we might have made out, so he's not a massive loss.
As well as we might have made out.
Well, he scored a few
he
times.
He mentions him every week because
exactly.
Okay. We
so then
more.
He plays like Sean Ray, Tim Alarunda, Russell Eldridge, Sam Adams to sort of step up. Kenny Pogue as well, who we featured on the start.
Kenny Pogue, super sub, wasn't he?
We need him to step up and score some goals as well. We will see. On Saturday, they played Maidstone at home in a big sort of relegation encounter now.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they lost 2-1.
They were one up,
and they lost 2-1. But then again, look, it's a new team, new manager.
It's
going to take time. So we'll feature them. I'll let you know. We'll go back to the match reports next week and I'll let you know how they got on. So, Peterhead. I saw Peterhead's result.
Yeah.
Drew a team
0-0 draw, which is pretty glum on the face of it. But against SPL side St Mirren in the Scottish Cup. Two divisions difference. Held them to 0-0 away from home. Fantastic performance. And, you know, they're in the hat still. They're in the hat. They're going to take them back to Balmore for a replay. And
the atmosphere is going to be
a lot. Don't they?
Hopefully we'll get a few people in for that one. The next game is a Scottish Division 2 game at Balmore against Livingston, which is going to be a real toughie because Livingston are running away with the division.
So I was going to say, they're absolutely flying, aren't they?
That's going to be a difficult one for them. But they are showing a little bit more form over the festive period, Peter. So best of luck to them in their cup replay and hopefully get something against Livingston next weekend. But that's the adopted teams. We have got another team to mention, which is really Riverside, and we've got some big news on them, Jim.
Yeah, Riverside, we had a cup game this week. Second game wearing the new kit, obviously, with a nice podcast sponsor. The big news this week is that the club profile will be on the website this week. We will have that live sometime this week, so you can get to know the players. I know Kay's quite interested in that, because she can have a look at exactly how ugly all my teammates are, which will be interesting. We played a Kent Cup game. At the start, during the team match, the pre-match team talk from the manager, he said, look, if you win this game today, you play Margate in the next round, and it's away, so we can all go down to Margate. So suddenly, from thinking up... Exactly. You'd think the same. Sure, you're always lit up when I said that. You just
I'm up for a way down Margate.
So we got a game. We got a game. Where if we win it, we're playing down in Margate. We just thought that is going to be brilliant. We'll go, we'll play the game, we'll have a piss up afterwards. Absolutely brilliant.
I hope you've won.
We were 3-1 up at half time, went back to 3-3, went to extra time, which none of us needed. We're all some of us are a bit fat, a lot of us are not very fit after 7 weeks off. We went to extra time, we beat them in extra time 5-3.
Yeah.
That's the good news.
When is this trip to Margate?
Bad news, we came off the pitch and the manager said, yeah, I was joking, we're playing Margate at home, I just wanted you to win.
So he needs to take to Margate on a bonding trip.
But look, Stuart is devastated. He is absolutely devastated.
Even someone who dances dives on the
Stuart will go to Margate.
So you'll be playing at home. He'll be down in Margate.
Yeah. But I mean, that's
sitting on the seafront.
Surely
with a
you'll be able to watch it on the telly down in Margate anyway.
Probably.
Is it chosen as one of the TV games? I don't know.
It should be. It's an ethical decision. Is that right?
Don't be ridiculous. This isn't the Alpha Scottish Challenge Cup. I mean,
this is true.
Is it right for a manager to completely lie in order to motivate?
Didn't even play.
If it gets a result, then yeah.
It did piss me off originally, but now we're saying, right, we'll draw it and we'll take it back to their place. But I mean, the pitch
cut. Is it a replay?
It's not. It goes extra time again.
I wish it did.
But so AFC Margate next
good
week.
Motivational speech.
Yeah, and I'll let you know how we get on.
Cool. Right, next up is Follow, where we talk about a Twitter account for you to follow, because Jim loves Twitter.
I do bloody love Twitter.
Yeah. He's now convinced.
He's very good.
Even Stu's on Twitter now. Stu is Stu_the_manager. And if you send him a tweet, he won't reply, he'll just retweet it. That's his view. He's the king of the retweets.
I'm getting good at that.
Page 2 is how to do your own tweets. We'll get you onto that next week. Mike is Michael Coxon, at Michael Coxon. Jim is...
I've just kept it simple with a simple Jim Staples.
There you go, and I'm Simon Head, so you can follow any or all of us, whatever your choice. And of course, we're at Football Podcast as well, which is the main one. Another one to follow.
Yeah, who are we following this week? That's what I want to know.
Is In Bed With Maradona.
Ah, I've heard about these guys.
Right, now, I need to explain the spelling of the Twitter name. It's In Bed WI Maradona. All one word.
It, almost if they were using hip hop terminology, like me.
Word.
Yeah.
Right, so the Twitter account. It's probably the best independent blog site on the internet. It's absolutely brilliant. A lot of people who have helped us out in the past actually write for them. People like Ian McIntosh, who's a very well respected football writer. He looks after it. Harch, David Hartrick, who really helped push us when we first met.
Absolutely, yeah.
He's one of the co-editors. So, you know, good group of lads. It's an award-winning blog. Anyone who's anyone online wants to read about football.
Miss Murray's been on there as well.
Miss Murray did a Christmas message for it, and a very good one it was too.
That's still on there, the video. Very good.
It is. It's excellent. So, if anyone who's on Twitter and isn't following this, they need to follow it. Fantastic account. Fantastic blog, In Bed With Maradona. Follow it now, twitter.com/InBedWithMaradona.
I'm sure it'll be one of our Follow Fridays as well.
It will be.
Are you impressed? I know what a Follow Friday is. I am learning.
In Bed With Maradona, that's our one for this week, which moves us on to another new section.
Pub Ammo. Looking forward to
Mr.
this.
Mr. Coxon wasn't here last week, but this is a new section called Pub Ammo.
Which basically is Stu News, but we've given it to Mike because Stu was crap at it. Fair to say, anyone? Stu?
No one's agreeing with you, dickhead.
The listeners are agreeing.
I'm only not because I'm sitting next to Stu and he's a foot taller than me.
Clear foot taller and a foot wider. A
couple of bits of news for you this week. One old, one new. We'll start with the new one. Steve Sidwell has moved to Fulham, as you all know. And some Aston Villa fans aren't happy about this. Not because Steve Sidwell did particularly well for Villa, but because of his lovely mane of ginger hair. Now, the Old Man Run, which is an Aston Villa fan site, fan blog,
yeah,
have begun a campaign
Have they got no other gingers in the team now?
They've got James Collins, but he shaved his head too close, so they're not happy.
You can tell by the freckles.
That's it.
You can tell a ginger by the freckles.
Never let them trick you. But they are starting a campaign for Nigel Riococa to dye his hair ginger.
I'm right behind him.
He looked like Wes Brown.
He
will look amazing, yes.
Is brilliant.
Carlos Coelho is on board, and when he mentioned this to Nigel Riococa, he laughed at the thought of it.
That's an endorsement of my book.
So what we'll do, we'll put a link up so you can read the blog, and there's a Twitter hashtag.
They need to pin
to
it
get
down,
the campaign going. Yeah, they want to get this
make
going.
Make Riococa ginger or something.
Make Riococa ginger as a hashtag, all one word.
Catchy.
we need to make this happen.
In the old news, Rennie Higuita.
Yep.
Colombian goalkeeping legend, man who did the scorpion kick.
Didn't get him voted into our podcast.
Didn't even get nominated.
No.
He was voted Colombia's ugliest celebrity.
That's a bit harsh.
Dubious.
For a country that gave us Carlos Valderrama.
No, good hair.
Then again, gave us Shakira. So, you can sort of see.
Were they both on the list as well?
And your list of famous Colombian people.
Exactly. He was quite hurt by this, as you would be.
I thought that was the pub, Omar. I thought that was it.
Have you heard of the TV show Extreme Makeover?
I'm aware of it, yeah.
It is where people go on who are unhappy with their appearance and have all manner of things done to them.
Steady on.
Rennie Higuita went on this program.
God, I saw them.
He had liposuction, a nose job, numerous plastic surgery
all
treatments.
All in one show?
Skin treatments. Oh, presumably not. It wasn't live, Stu. It wasn't live. And he's now, if you see the picture online, quite dashing. Something of a Latino
heart. Broken apart.
Basically.
He used to look a bit like Trisha Goddard. Does he look less like Trisha now?
He looks a lot less like Trisha.
Oh, okay.
He looks...
would I?
Well, you would, Jim, yes.
Good.
And I think most heterosexual women would. Or gay men.
Brilliant. I'll have a little look.
There you go.
We should get him and Nigel Riococa Ginger together. Celebrity couple. That's a campaign for you. Go on.
There we go.
Bang that one out.
It's an optimistic one.
It's very optimistic.
I'd like to see the hashtag for that.
That's not going to do a hashtag because that is your whole tweet.
Get Riococa and Higuita Ginger and also a couple.
That'll work.
Tweet it.
Alright.
Right.
What's next?
Next up is the Weekend Acker. So cool because we haven't come up with a better name for it yet. We're going to put a bet on every week because we like a punt every now and again. We're each going to nominate a team to go in this accumulator, and
basically, we have to pick a team that we think are going to get a result.
Yeah.
Can we pick draws?
This isn't about getting value. This is about getting wins.
I still think this should either be called Real Betting or Hugo Eki Odds.
I like Hugo Eki Odds. Eki Odds. We'll have it now. We'll have Hugo Eki Odds. Done.
So welcome to Hugo Eki Odds.
Good. Shahor, what one team have you picked?
Man City win.
Who are they playing?
Wolves at home.
Blimey, you'd go out on a limb, didn't you?
No, I like this. Safe betting is good betting.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. We might only earn £2 this week, but we'll put whatever we earn onto next week's account.
Snowball effect.
Then
we make no money. We just keep putting what we earn onto next.
Well, no, what we'll do, we'll split the winnings in half. Keep winning half the winnings in a pot. Other half goes on in the stake for next week.
Otherwise, go on in, Mike.
Mine isn't so safe. I'm going for Wigan to beat Fulham.
Where's it at?
It's at home. And Fulham don't travel well.
At home? Who's home?
At Wigan.
Okay.
Of course.
I'm torn between two, actually. Who have you got, Jim? Who have you gone for?
I've gone for Chesterfield.
Okay.
Chesterfield to beat Stevenage.
Wrong.
Chesterfield won 3-2 away at the weekend at Southend, so they're top of the league and they are doing quite well. They're putting away. Stevenage obviously beat Newcastle.
They'll be knackered.
Yeah, I think it'll be knackered and it'll be a whole hangover and stuff like that. And the fact that they wouldn't win at Chesterfield anyway, so Chesterfield home win against Stevenage.
Cool. And I'm doing something that I never ever do, which is back my own team.
Fair point, though. Peterhead.
That's right.
Yeah.
Bit of comedy from the man over there. Gillingham to beat Northampton Town.
So we've got Gillingham, Chesterfield, Wigan, Manchester City. We'll put it on, we'll see what the odds are. We'll update them next week.
We'll see how we go. Right, that almost takes us to the end of the show. We have Class and Arse, which is Mr. Staples' reign today.
Right, it's good that we've kept a feature from last year.
Is that the only one we have?
Yeah, we've ditched everything else. Class, I've been getting to Twitter. I am loving the player accounts on Twitter at the moment. Special mentions Leon Knight, just for his candidness. He's absolutely brilliant. Babbel and Howard Webb, which touched on earlier, mocked him up in a Man United shirt. Marvin Morgan, who told the Aldershot fans that they could go and die, and has since been bummed out on loan to Dagenham. Horrible thing to say, but it's very entertaining to watch because
it's such a childish thing.
It was very childish.
Horrible thing to do, though, send him to Dagenham.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I mean, what he said, I hope they all die. They're going to die anyway. In effect, they will eventually
at some point.
Glenn Johnson as well. Might have sent him in about earlier. Go for it, Mike.
Glenn Johnson took exception to some of Paul Merson's comments on Soccer Saturday about it and tweeted that he wasn't going to get annoyed at comments by an alcoholic drug abuser.
Which is fine.
Which, to be honest, defeats the whole idea of not getting annoyed by it.
Yeah.
He also said that Paul Merson wasn't that good anyway.
10 times the player Johnson was.
Exactly. And also that the only reason he had to be a pundit was he gambled all this money away.
Other than that, he wasn't annoyed by Paul Merson.
I'm really glad he hasn't been upset. That's the important thing.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I was worried he was going to be upset.
But so what my class is for the week is just the free speech of Twitter.
Yeah.
And the fact that people will put stuff on there, they are going to get hold. And my real hope is that they don't start bringing into clubs right, you can't have a Twitter account. Which
some
I think
clubs
could
already do that. Some
yeah, I think it, I think oh, I will.
Fair play to Jamie Mackey for his Twitter account.
Yeah.
Describing what El Hadjichouf said to him.
Arse of the week. Okay, it was going to be El Hadjichouf, but I mean, that's been covered on all bangers. My arse of the week is North East football, which Kay might not be happy about, but you've got Newcastle lost at Stevenage.
Out.
Middlesbrough got done by Burton Albion, I believe.
Out.
Sean Harrod deserves a special mention there for two goals.
Great bicycle kick, one of them.
Did nothing all game and then scored in the 82nd and the 90th minutes to win in the game. And obviously, the remaining team from North East is.
Like Spartans.
No. They weren't in the FA Cup third round, so they don't count for this little update. But yeah, obviously Newcastle losing to Stevenage, which we've already covered. So North East football is the arse of the week. Sorry, Kay.
Right, you can get in touch with us via the website, www.footballpodcast.co.uk. Email us at banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. We're on Twitter. We've got Football Podcast is our main one. I'm Simon Head. We've got Jim Staples, Michael Coxon, and Stu_the manager.
What are you going to be watching this week?
Jamie and the Magic Torch, box set.
Podcast fact of the week?
This week's fact of the week is that Paris Hilton has size 11 feet.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night.